15 past 8, KROC, Rochester's Good Morning. Rich Peterson here, 18 now downtown, going to get up to 32 with some sunshine. Well, it's been a little while since we've talked with the folks from the Rochester Area Foundation. Steve Borkhart and Ann Fahey-Gust joins us.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Always a privilege and an honor to be here. I'm sorry I had to cancel in February. I had the bad head and chest crud.
There's a lot of that going around.
Couldn't
I think
talk,
it was sick of winter
think.
Early.
It was just another normal day for me. But, yeah, we have Ann along today. Ann takes care of our grant process, and we just awarded the grants from our first of the year grant cycle. About $125,000 worth of grants going out to nonprofits who do good works in our community. And I thought it'd be an interesting story just for a few minutes this morning that she could tell our listening audience what it is we support and how and why.
Yeah.
So she's all prepared to talk about that, and I'll probably be quiet and let her do that.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Steve, and good morning, Rich.
Yeah. So the grants have been awarded. Now, tell us about this process.
We had 15 grants that were awarded to nonprofits in the Rochester area, and we do that through a distribution committee. So it's a group of people that are community involved in some way or other. There's 10 of them, and basically they'll look at a grant, see whether or not it meets our criteria, and then decide if it goes forward for further consideration. We then ask for a lot of information at that point and make a decision on an award after we do a review of the organization. So face-to-face interviews are kind of the way we make our decisions.
So you're kind of looking at, obviously, well, what are you
looking at
specifically?
At the moment, the thing that we're really, really keen on is finding organizations that are working together. So a lot of collaborative working so that you get actually greater impact. If you've got two people going in the same direction, you tend to get better results when you do that. So a lot of our grants that we awarded this time are collaborative grants. They're working with one or more other organizations to serve their clients.
And with these grants, they can do whatever they wish.
Well,
or
they,
can they?
They have to use the money for the whatever they defined in their grant. So if it's a program grant, you have to use the money for a program. You can't use it to pay your light bill, for example.
Yeah. All right, so they've asked for specific things for amount of money that they would love
a specific thing and a specific amount of money.
All right,
and with that specific thing, it could be program related. It can be organizational related. So they need a person to help run a program.
Right.
It can. The only thing we don't fund is capital. So if you wanted to build a new building, that's not something that
the foundation does. Yeah.
At least not at this point. But everything else is pretty open. We'll do arts and culture, environment, health and human services. We'll do curriculum development for schools. We do mental health grants for, you know, organizations that are working in that area. Let's see, I'm trying to think some of the other things. We did one real fun one this time, which is all about starting to help support a group to get together to create a sustainable fireworks for the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
And really create a day around that so that the veterans are honored. So it was really kind of a cool
fantastic
group.
So who got the grants?
Well, there's 15 of them, so I'll just read them through really quickly and just kind of give you a little tiny slice of what they're going to be doing. Apple Tree Dental.
And are they all similar amounts? Or
no, I can give you the amounts, too, while we go through it. So Apple Tree Dental, they are going to be working with special needs patients, so they needed a special chair and a lift to be able to move people out of their wheelchairs and into proper dental chairs so that they can, you know, get the right way to work on their teeth and stuff. So they requested $13,000 and got that.
All right.
The Girl Scouts of River Valleys is doing a program to, it's called Connect Z, and it connects girls who wouldn't normally be going to Girl Scouts with the Girl Scouting experience through girl-led programming. They requested $5,000 and got that. Family Means is a group that does counseling for people who are in financial difficulty. They requested $10,000 and got that. Mindset Foundation is a brand new group, and they are working right now with Cass and Manorville schools in curriculum development for leadership for middle school. So leadership characteristics, and they're doing some curriculum development around that. It's in line with the anti-bullying work. So rather than telling you what not to do, they're telling you what to do. And they requested $2,000 and got that. Sumbro Valley Mental Health Center requested $18,622. They were very specific.
I guess so.
And they are all about creating a integrated health services for their mental health clients that aren't seen elsewhere. And they're hugely supported by Mayo Clinic and Olmsted Medical. And the program that they're working with will hopefully see a decrease in those people with those mental illnesses going to an emergency room because they'll have a clinic to go directly to. We had Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. They're brand new in Rochester.
Yeah.
They're located up where Bethany Samaritan used to be. And it's a program that works with adult males who have some sort of drug or alcohol dependency to move them out of that. And they were requesting $5,000 to be able to kind of fit their rooms in their residency program. So they have a resident program. And we gave them the $5,000, but asked them to match that with their donors. So they will actually end up with $10,000.
Wonderful.
Instead of just five.
Okay.
Minnesota Council on Nonprofits, they are an advocacy group for nonprofits, and they have offices in the Twin Cities, in Duluth and in Mankato, but they have nothing in Southeast Minnesota. And so we are partnering with them to get them to come to Rochester, because we have lots of nonprofits that would really, really like to take advantage of the services that they offer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too far to go to the cities, really. Or if you're a one-man band nonprofit, it takes too much out of your day to go to the cities to get some of the services that they offer.
Yeah.
So we're doing an in-kind grant for them for office space. So they'll be officed with us at the foundation, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And they also have a small grant of $1,000 to just kind of get rolling with some of the supplies and things like that they need.
Okay.
Brighter Tomorrows, again, it's a new group for the foundation to be involved with. And they are a group that works with families with children with cancer. And they have been in existence for about 7 years, but really it's the first time we've had any contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
They are expanding their programming because, unfortunately, not every child survives. And they realize that you still need a support network, but being with families where their children are still fighting the battle isn't a good place for them to be.
All right.
So they're creating a new program, and we're really excited about that. They've teamed up with Seasons Hospice.
So you put out you have a certain amount that you're granting every year.
Yes.
Is that correct? And then, based amongst all the grant requests that you get, you filter it out and then,
Yep. We had go from there. 27 grant requests, and of that, the 15 came forward as those that we would fulfill.
Mm-hmm. About $125,000 or something?
$125,000. It's the biggest that we've had for a long time, I think like since 2005.
Wow.
Obviously, we're granting out from our own endowed funds, but we also partner with donor-advised funds, so people who are have a fund at the foundation can also participate. And then the great thing about this time, we had about a 50-50 split between the funding that the foundation had and what our donors would also come up with.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Now for the, and that'll be awarded what, every winter?
Actually, we have two cycles.
Okay.
We have one that just just closed.
Right.
And that's our winter cycle. And then we'll have another one that will close on the 1st of August.
Okay. So those organizations or anybody that would be interested in submitting a grant request,
they would go to our website, www.rochesterarea.org,
okay,
under the request tab. And then it goes in the request tab, and then there's a piece on grants, and it has the pre-application form, which needs to be submitted, and the criteria are also attached right there.
Fantastic. Wonderful. And I guess if anybody else would want to participate or deal with the Rochester Area Foundation, or you can always do that through the website as well.
At
282-0203. All right.
Now, a couple other things. You have time to mention just a couple other things?
Sure.
A couple of key things, and I want to amplify one of the things Ann talked about where we invite our donor-advised fund owners to participate. These grants that she made were primarily out of our unrestricted funds. People have given us funds to put in endowed fund, endowed accounts, and where you don't touch the principal, and they're unrestricted. We can use them as we see fit. But we also have a lot of donors that own what we call donor-advised funds, where they can continue to advise us how they want their money distributed to charities. Well, when we go through the grant cycle and our distribution committee decides how to use our unrestricted funds, then Ann invites in the owners of our donor advised funds and lets them hear the presentations so they can choose to participate also. So you talk about collaboration. That's, that's another real force multiplier. That's really a unique aspect. If you are a donor advised fund owner and you just don't quite know what to do with it, well, Ann's going to help expose you to some really good causes. Number two point I wanted to make. Most often, the money goes to 501c3 organizations, those that have started up, they've established their status, they've established some degree of infrastructure, they've got a board, they're operating as a full-fledged organization. However, there are some that are just startups. They're just a good idea from a good group of citizens, and it needs some nurturing, and they're not quite to their 501c3 status, or they're growing and building. And we also help with that, and we have the unique ability at the foundation to be able to accommodate those kinds of grants and help if there's some way we can through both in-kind services or monetary if it's appropriate. The third thing I would stress that you didn't touch on, and you got just about every thing else on my list just sitting here and listening to you, is Rochester Area Foundation. So we kind of draw a radius around the Rochester area of kind of a loose radius of somewhere between 35 and 40 miles. So if you're sitting out there right now listening to us in Stuartville or maybe in Lake City or Wabasha and you've got a worthy cause, you are ours also.
Okay.
You are in our area and we want to be part of your life. So those are just a few additional things. This is a really exciting time of year when Ann can make these grants, and this is what we're all about, and this is where the money we collect and the work we do the rest of the year really hits the streets in Rochester and the area and does good things.
Yeah, rochesterarea.org is the website. And again, what's the phone number?
282-0203.
All right. Excellent. And thanks for coming.
Oh, 507. That's right.
Don't forget the area code.
Yeah.
All right. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for
good to see you again.
Thank you.